Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Redless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite by the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserve at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing Underwood Stakes Day. We've also got the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes. How good is it to have that race back on this day? And the shorts up in Sydney, we see the return of the likes of Jolly Star, Briasa, and Private Harry. How good is it going to be? Well, we'll find out in due course. We've got Will Alford, the Botman, Nico Magualta, and myself, Ben Caluzzi. Nico, I'll start with you first. It was your birthday shindig last week. Painted the town red. How are you feeling?
Oh, yeah, just doing what we usually do. But, yeah, apologies I wasn't here last week. I would love to have been. Wasn't here. So not
me and
I
Bot did
to be,
very well without you.
Yeah, well, sometimes you've just got to pick up the pieces when the main man's not around. So, yeah, no, it's good to be back. Yeah, the birthday celebrations were good. It's good that it only happens once a year, even though we usually go out and act like it's my birthday all the time. But, yeah, no, things are good.
You're the sort of bloke to have birthday month celebrations.
Well, yeah, I don't have a problem with that sort of gear. That's good.
Yeah.
Celebrate every day like it's your birthday, but you never know when your last one's going to be here.
Absolutely, mate.
That's very true. But you sound a little bit sick. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I am under the weather at the moment. I'm not feeling too good, but...
Poor you. No one really cares.
No, they don't. All they care about is the tips and winners, so let's get stuck in
what
the
they do care all about right, pretty is articles. You've got a new job. You've got a new job. You've started with Betty, so Paul Tatnall, who was ex-racing.com, and Matty Welsh, who held a very senior position at Racing Victoria for a while, but we know where his heart lies, and that is within the punt.
Yeah.
And tell us how that's going.
Oh, it's going well. It's only very new, and they were nice enough to reach out to me and doing some form stuff and some other bits like that. So, it sounds as like I haven't really done a whole lot yet, but it sounds like it's going to be a whole lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
That's good. Who else is in that team? Dean Watling is doing some stuff for them, some of those SEO.
Yeah,
Mitch
Dean
Lewis.
Watling's doing Mitch Lewis,
yeah.
Blair Gibson,
yep,
up in Queensland.
Anyone doing Western Australia?
I don't think so.
So how does it work? Are you just a freelancer with them, like a contractor? You just sort of invoice them for like the work you do or whatever? Or
yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So still with racing.com as well. So doing both, juggling the two of them.
Maybe this might give Racing Vic a bit of a foot up the arse. I start appreciating you a bit more.
Well, mate, you can't say that.
Yeah, well,
you've
flourished. Look at the.
I don't know if I'm flourishing at the moment. I sound like shit.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good start that you did today with that article. So,
I like writing. Writing's good. I feel like I'm a lot better at it than talking. So
everyone's got a one wood, Will. Your one wood isn't your tonsils. It is your articulation through text.
Articulation. Yeah. Yeah, well, so if anyone wants to go and have a look at that, it's on betsy.com.au. So if you want to go read that article about the Super Clark, you can check that out if you'd like.
I was a big fan. I feel like I beat the handicapper today because I read it in quicker than 4 minutes. It says read time 4 minutes and I polished off.
It'd probably take you 6 minutes, mate.
No, it was about 2 minutes, 40 seconds.
Yeah, right, okay.
The only thing I was disappointed in bot was we had a conversation earlier in the week just in the group chat. And you had Angel Capital a $3 chance, and then you change it to $3.50. A little bit small cap behavior.
Give Seppels a little bit more of some respect, but
just
not
too come on, mate. Be aggressive.
Bit of sit to piss behavior.
That was like my first go at it too. Like I've had a couple goes at pricing, and
thank God you didn't write the article before Wednesday. After the best cult in the country got beat.
Oh God, yeah, that was tongue in cheek.
No, let's not talk about that.
That form line's worked out.
He was absolutely ran off his legs.
Yeah,
he probably needs further, but
yeah, he might not. Well, be that Grand good. Prairie's done some good stuff for the form line. It's just picked off.
Isn't it amazing how the form just works out sometimes?
Yeah,
it is. The great, not so great game.
How good is it that, as I said before, that this Rupert Clark is back where it belongs? Yeah, I don't know whose decision that was to put it at
Kanga,
the back of spring.
For sure.
I know, Kanga brought it back, but the decision they made to move the Rupert Clark towards November or whatever it was is one of the worst decisions the MRC have ever made. It is the main lead up to the Toorak. You've still got horses who can drop back to like even an Everest if they were good enough to like bolt in here. Back to 1,200, they can go to 1,600. It's just where it belongs. And this time last year,
and it's even no better now that the CF in this position. He's out.
You know what?
Toorak,
you know
too,
what the lead up was.
The option as well.
You know what the lead up was to the Toorak over the last couple of years. The Sandown Stakes.
Yeah, that's stinky.
Which still it will be. It's stinky. The other alternative. It's a lesser option than this week.
It's the lesser option, but far out. We needed this Group One back here.
You've got the Sandown Stakes. You've got the Manicato. You've got the So You Think
Fian.
Yeah, this is great. It's good. It's great it's good that it's back. It's great that it's back in its spot now. And yeah, as I said, the CF4 is at the back end of the carnival now, so that's also an option for some of those sort of better credentialed horses that can race at weight for age as well. That's at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting.
All right. All right, let's get back into the racing. It's what we love. It's why we're here. Caulfield bot, take us through it. I've been looking at the radar. I've been studying it all week, and now it's only 0 to 2 millimeters on Saturday. There's a bit more on Friday, but I don't think this amount of rain is going to affect the way the track is playing. And I think we're still looking for a good four, soft five at the very worst, but I'm still thinking good four.
Yeah, I think it'll be perfect conditions for racing. There's going to be a westerly, which will be a headwind in the straight. But other than that, I think it'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good surface for racing.
And rail 6, do you have any qualms about that or just sort of wait and see how it goes?
No, I don't really have any thoughts on it.
Yeah. Rail's
back
out.
The horses, not the track.
Yeah, rail's out 6 at Caulfield and 7 at Randwick. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays. We're going to have a couple testers in races 1, 2, and 3 to really see how that track is playing because we're not starting until race 4. It's a benchmark 100 over 1,100 metres. Oak Hill is our $3.40 favourite, dropping out of the Moyer Stakes. Nadal, the top weight, well, he's $4.80. He could be one of the most intriguing runners of the entire day. I think he had some bone chips removed from his knee. Clabelle has been one they've come for. We know Richard and Chantal Jolly when they bring one over from SA. This horse has been running in.
So that, they've got a Flemington base now.
Oh, they've got a Flemington base now. Yeah. Well, nonetheless, they have been dominating a lot of Victorian sprint races when they bring down a B grader in recent years, $5.50. Tiger Shark is there at $6.50. Look at his late splits last time behind a very good one in Headwall and Lady Shenandoah. And then you got Red Hot Nick at $7 and Recommendation at $10. Nico, you wanted to bet here.
Yeah, well, I think you're forced to have a bet here because Nadal's the best horse in this race. I don't think he's going to be coming to the races too far underdone. I just can't get that win at Caulfield out of my head last time we saw him here.
What was it, Cranbourne?
No, the last win at Caulfield when he beat King. The win at Cranbourne was really good, but the win at Caulfield here last time he raced was really, really good, and I can't sort of get that out of my head. I think he's a really progressive horse, and I think you're inclined just to have a bet at the price. Like, if he was, you know, $3, and you probably just wait and see how he goes on the weekend. But at sort of $5, I think he's probably better than a 20% chance at winning. So you've sort of just got to roll the dice and have a bet. I think some horses in here with, you know, solid enough form and a fitness edge, but I think they'll want to sort of come back and make sure they're on track for bigger targets later in the carnival. So, I think races probably like the Meteorite, etc. at the back end. They've probably got fat rings around those sort of races, I would have thought. Who knows? They might even really aim up and go to something like a champion sprint if he was really humming. Like, that's a race that's going to fall away. I think I found a horse for the champion sprint because I had a look at the market earlier and it's ludicrous.
Who, the Giga market. Kick?
No, Skybird, because she's going to go to the Manicato and then she's freshening into the champion sprint. Look at that market. It's got Briasa, Private Harry. All these horses are going to be racing in Sydney in that spring series. I don't think many of them are going to come. She's no real spoil. She's at $11, which is probably a touch big, but it's a race that I think can be a bit of a destination race for some horses.
Yeah.
And horses that like the straight. So, you know, I'm not saying Nadal's a Group 1 sprinter. I think he's probably got Group 1 ability. He's got to go there and do it, but they're the type of races that I don't think is as far-fetched as if he was, you know, you're not feeding him to the lions by having an ambition like that. If 100%. All things go well. So, yeah, all in all, I think he's a really good bet. Okay, was unlucky in the Moya, but he's getting deep into a prep now, and I sort of just want to sort of be around him. So, yeah, I think Nadal at $5 is a good bet.
Yeah, I thought he would have been a live chance in a race like an Oakley Plate. Nadal, if he had been here earlier on in the year, but he had that injury. Yeah. But talk to me here. Do we get an even better price for Nadal given the long break, 3 kilo claimer, firstly? And Tiger Shark, he ran the fastest final 400 metres of the entire meeting in the Concord last start behind, you know, Headwall, Lady Shenandoah, Jimmy Star, horses like that. And he gets $6.50 now. So it's not a bad race.
No, it's not a bad race at all. I think Nadal is interesting, and he makes the race very hard to bet into because obviously he's had issues. He's 270 days between runs. And Luke Cartwright goes on. No disrespect to him. He's doing well. But, you know, the sign of intent isn't exact. If they put Mark Zara on first up, you're like, this thing's like a, you know, he's like a 280 chance. But, you know, I think it's an easy race to just let go. I don't know whether I think that the price will be dependent on what he looks like in the yard. Like, if he's there to go and the punters are confident in you know, if he's here to win this race, then the price might firm, and that might be like if he firms, then you want to be on probably. But if he drifts to, like, if he starts $6, you don't want a piece of it.
Yeah. All right, we've probably spent way too much time on a benchmark 100. Let's go to race 5, the Caulfield Guineas Prelude. looks a pretty weak addition this year. 1400 meter group three for the 3-year-olds. Planet Red comes here as $3.70 favorite. Stayed at 1200 meters last time. Surely this horse is just looking for a bit more ground. $3.70 from Stay Cosmic, who did beat him home last time, $4.20. Bakash, $6. 1400 meters, got to be a query for him. Space Rider, $6.50. Estremo, $6.50. And Bingy is $12. Botta, talk to me here. Planet Red, I thought might be able to turn the tables on Stay Cosmic.
I agree. I think Bakash and Bingy will set a strong enough pace, I think above average at least, I'd have thought, even though it's a small enough field. And I thought that Planet Red could punch up and maybe even find the 1-1 here if they really wanted to. But at least I think they'd be forward of midfield. And I think he's just screaming for 1,400 metres. And I think this race sets up really well. Stay Cosmic, I know Planet Red's favoured over him to win. When Stay Cosmic had the Saloon Passage and didn't have to go around a runner, Planet Red's passage was hampered. He had to change direction a couple of times, especially in the straight. So I think $3.70 is best price now is probably backable and more like a $3.40 chance in the race. So I think Planet Red's one of the like he's a good bet on the day, I think.
Yeah. Nico, he was probably just, I know he was a little bit luckless there at Mooney Valley, probably just tiny bit outsped when the sprint went on as well. You think he can improve up to 14?
I reckon he's a moral.
Bang.
He's one of
articulate that bot.
He's one of three certainties on the day, I think. Planet Red. I completely agree. I think he was just flat footed when the sprint went on over 1200 or staying at 1200 last time. I don't think he would have beaten Rosberg anyway. That was a pretty impressive debut of a horse who's going to go on to better things. This is a shit race. Let's be honest. Like, none of these horses are going to be competitive in the Guineas. The best horses will come down from Sydney like they usually do. And but Planet Red's, it's just a here and now. This is his time to shine on Saturday. And I think you could get aggressive and mark him sort of 230, 240 if you really want to get bold, because I think there's a fair bit of dead wood in this race. I can see him being steamed on Saturday, and I think he's a really good bet. I agree with Bot. I think he'll be sort of, you know, first half of the field. I don't think he'll be outside the lead or anything like that, like he did at Sandown. They got off and alluded to the fact that he didn't like that. He sort of just won because he was the best horse in the race. So just hopefully he's got something to follow, and I think we'll see the best of this horse out to 1,400 metres.
Yeah, I agree. I'll make three ducks in a line, Planet Red on top. This is probably a two-horse race. Stay Cosmic has still got to have a chance, but I think Planet Red might be able to turn the tables. And Bingy, its last start figure was pretty good, but Planet Red did handle it the start prior, and I think it's just going to improve a stack up to 1,400. All right, race six is the Jim Maloney Stakes. Listed 1,400 metres, this is for the girls. Vivid Sun, another progeny of the Autumn Sun, unbeaten. How good are those Autumn Suns going? They just look immense. The Playwright, $8. Yet again, 1,400 metres has got to be a query for a horse like that. Ferrivia is $8. Spicy Lou, $8.50. Rusca Roma, $8.50. Lavlane, $9. Cherish Me, $10. Zany Girl, $14. And Chateau Easy, $15. But how do you line up some of this provincial form with those that have more city form?
I think the provincial form can measure up with the metropolitan form. I think the horse that I'm backing three horse in this race because I'm not dirty on the favorite. Just some of the middle pinners are just kind of like you can get rid of a couple of them. Like the Playwright, $8, as you said, Ben. Not at 14. I wouldn't have thought Ferrivia. I don't think wants 14 either. So Shadow Wears is the first one, probably the strongest bet in the race. I loved the debut. I think it was a Benalla. Just smashed the clock and won by three point three lengths. Sorry.
Market knew as well.
Yeah, it was off the map. It was completely, I think it was a 14% firm. And you look, sorry to be one of those guys, but it threw the line. Like, this is not my go, but through the line, it just trucked, it just put a space on him. 1,200 metres as short as it wants. It's a Frankel from a good family. And I think $15 each way all day. I think it's more like a $6 chance. Yum is another one who is 36 days between runs. It trialed really nicely between. I think you can back it. And the other one as well is Lathlane, who ran enormous closing sectionals. I think it was at Sale. I could be wrong. No, Seymour. It was at Seymour. And the second horse and the third horse have since won out of the race, and they put 7 lengths on the next horse. So I think that's a good form line to follow. And I'm pretty keen on those three horses. I do admit that the Vivid Sun looks I think that price is about right, but I need to get rid of a couple of the other ones. And keen on a 3-bet play.
Yum, out of the mare, dream food. So well done there, whoever named that. I'm backing three horses as well. Chateau Easy is one I've backed at $16. I was working this meeting and there were two horses that were firm in betting, Chateau Easy and Abuchi. She was the debutante. Michael D, I think it was his only ride for the day. And just the late market, they completely spat out Abuchi, and she was rock solid, just crunched in betting. She won with something in hand, 1,400 metres, 1,600 metres, yes. Like, by Frankel, she looks the 1,000 guineas horse, and a lot of these probably look more sprinters. Ferruvia, I do agree that 1,400 metres could be an issue, but I just knew that $15 all in was going to be an overlay, so I had a piece of that. We've seen that she can rattle off some really good sections, and I'm happy to forgive that Mooney Valley run to some extent. We know she did beat My Gladiola 2 starts ago, albeit with a softer run, so I'm on her as well. And Vivid Sun is my main bet in the race. What she did last time at Sandown, she came from the tail of the field. It was only a small field, but she just had absolute panels on them. Up to 1,400 metres is a big positive by the Autumn Sun. Moods is really keen if you listen to his podcast during the week. And he's not one to tip his horses when they're at short prices, but he said, punters, you can have a bit of confidence about this one. So I'm coming on board. Nico, did you have any thoughts on the Jim Maloney at all?
No, there's no morals here. No real opinion. You'll probably learn more than have a bet, but I can agree with you guys with Shadow Uze, however you call it. Gets a jockey upgrade, so that's probably worth something.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the first leg of the quarter, the Group 1 Underwood Stakes. Speaking of date changes, this one actually has had a date change in recent years as well. Do you guys remember when this race used to be on the Sunday at Sandown after the grand final? Yeah,
that was no good.
Yes, I do.
It was a little bit grim.
Zaki won one of those years.
Zaki won a year. I think Alligator Blood won a year. Everyone was hungover. I remember Nico dragged me to Sandown one day, the day after the grand final. Gear. I don't know why we even bothered, but anyway.
I think we'd gone home, but anyway.
It's back at Caulfield on a Saturday the week before the grand final, and it fits in really well to the program now with horses either going to Cox Plates, Caulfield Cups, or even a Melbourne Cup eventually. Sir Delius, absolutely smashed in betting. Open $2.70.
This is crazy.
Now, even money, despite drawing barrier 11. Where's he going to position on the map? I'm not sure. Buckaroo pissed in this race last year and couldn't have done much more. First up, he's $5.50. Moira, $6. Favoured to turn the tables on Desert Lightning this time, who's $14. Interesting that Desert Lightning did SP a much shorter price favourite, $2.20, and Moira was $3.80 last time at the Valley. Well, I guess the caveat to that is $1,500 at the Valley. Middle Earth is $19. Zardozi, 20-1. Golden Path, 23-1. On the quick backup after a fast run race last time at Flemington. Good win, and Anisette is 30-1. Firstly, a quick map. There aren't too many natural go-forward horses here. I think Desert Lightning probably leads. Golden Path wants to be handy enough. Smoke and Romans goes forward. Casino 17 can go forward or back, but this should be run faster than the Maccabi. That's still not.
Don't.
Can of worms.
Don't fucking get me started.
What pace do you see this running at, Bot?
Probably even. I'd say even. I don't think they'll go quickly, but I don't think they'll go slow. Well, they might go below average, but it won't be pedestrian.
Yep. Do you want to have a bet at the current prices?
Absolutely not. I'm not taking even money. I think it's a 250 chance. The only horse I'd push anyone into is probably Anisset, who's off 35 days in trial between runs. I thought it was not as good as Moira, but it wasn't that much worse than it that day in the PB Lawrence, and it's $31 and Moira's $6, and you know it's had the run since and run really well Moira, but
I think Anisset might have had a little mishap.
What race is this thing even going to? Is Anisset?
I think it's a Caulfield Cup horse.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
In and Moira?
Yeah, a good chance to both go there, yeah.
Right. I just think Anisset looks big at that price and you probably have to have something on. Yeah. But other than that, I think it looks all about right to me. I would have loved to back Sir Delius, but even money now is... just with the map, like I wouldn't be surprised at all if this horse gets a 1-1 and just absolutely shits in. But at the same time, it could be posted three wide throughout, or they could even take it back from the wide barrier with targets in mind. So either way, it's an exciting horse. I mean, it's funny because I've been following this horse ever since pretty much its debut in France, because I loved what it did in the style, the way it's done it.
You love its breeding as well, don't lie.
Yeah, it's all nice fuzzy. And clean and. Yeah, but you know this is a proper horse.
Let's be serious here. Like I love this horse, and
it's short. Yeah.
If all things go well, like this horse could be a life changing collect to some of our family. But like fuck me, $2 is ridiculous. Like fair dinkum, second up over 1800 meters. With a big fat circle around a 3,200 meter race, which is the grand final.
Just wait, punters. You'll like get a $2 on Saturday. You have to.
$2 is ridiculous. I wouldn't
be surprised if it starts at $1.80.
Well, and if he does, that's like scary.
If he starts at $1.80 and pisses in here, he can beat Via Sustaino. I'm going to put it on the table now.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah, but
which is scary.
Is that really what we want to wish for? Do we really want to see him be so brilliant that we might not win a 3,200 meter race, which we need him to win?
We want him to run third or second.
Like, I think he's a cracking bet for the. I was having a look at this today. It's a bit of like $3, $3.50 for him to run a place in the Cox Plate. I think that's a really, really good bet.
Yeah,
because I can just see.
I got a bit of $6 for him in the Might and Power early this morning.
I can see him running a really bold race. He might not win the Cox Plate. But I can really see him run the drum. But yeah, $2 is ridiculous on the weekend. I don't want to have a bet in this race. I think Buckaroo's over the odds for what it's worth, but I don't really want to back another horse to beat Sir Delius. Because I think, as you said, Bot, he could continue to be expressed and he could piss in. And we've got another really, really big contender before Melbourne Cup Day, which is when we thought we'd probably see the best of this horse. So, yeah, I'm not having a bet, and I think $2 is silly, but, gee, I have them wrong.
Well, as Bot said to me last week on our podcast, if you're well outside the market in Group 1s, wait for age races, a lot of the time you're wrong. And if this keeps going, then there is every chance that it's right.
Yeah.
And that is very scary for anything he comes up against this spring. D-Lane, I heard during the week that he wants Moira to go to a Caulfield Cup. He wants this to be his Caulfield Cup horse, which pretty much puts any doubt to rest that Aliana won't be going to a Caulfield Cup, I would have thought, because I think he would have been lining up to
ride. It's
going to
be fascinating because a few of the boys, obviously, it's no surprise to see Shinny on Buckaroo. That was always going to happen. And a lot of these horses are going to be obviously racing Caulfield Cup, which is Everest Day. So, yeah, it's going to be very sort of interesting to see if they're pinning themselves. Like, you know, Zara to Middle Earth, Shinny to Buckaroo, Frosty to Moira, etc.
Yeah.
See, Bot sort of left the door open today about he hasn't officially signed his life away to ride Sir Delius for the rest of the preparation, Willow.
Yeah, right.
Wonder if the snake season will be in full swing now that he's got 55 and a half in a Melbourne Cup.
Well, Tim Clark will get the ride if Willow decides he doesn't want to get it. Well, Tim Clark has said this is the best horse he's ridden. Vauban, nah, please.
Why is Tim Clark not here?
He's riding Vauban. That's what makes me think that he might stick with that horse.
Nah, he knows Sir Delius is a better horse. If Craig Williams...
So why would he not ride him here?
Well, I reckon they thought he was going to get a much lighter weight in the cups, and maybe they thought Willow is the only one who's going to be able to ride him. Tim Clark can't make that weight. That's what I take from it.
Okay.
Nothing's official anyway for beyond this. Yeah. So
anyway, we've got to move on, but Sir Delius, we've taken $6 for at the sixth day. So obviously it's a cracking bet. That was down to 450. It was still bettable. Barrier 11 is a bit of a pain point. I hope Craig Williams is somewhat positive, but if they go back, and I could somewhat understand it as well. We've got savers around him, so I struggle to see how we're going to lose on the race.
You got $6 for Saturday, or you've taken $6 for next start?
Got $6 for Saturday.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Prayers up to the sky. Race 8 is the Rupert Clark Group 1, handicap 1,400 metres, Angel Capital $3.40, Seppals $4.50, another Will $7, or another bot, as we like to call him on this podcast. Arkansas Kid $8.50, Miss Rumbini $16, Damascarose $17, Heater Shock $23. Pace here, well, it should be pretty good. The likes of Heater Shock likes to go forward. We know Zarastro has got plenty of speed. Zoo Sensation won't be too far away if it gets into the field. Pinstripe, I don't know what happened last start. The blinkers went on and he got really fired up. But there should be good tempo here, as there is in most Caulfield handicaps.
There should be. Jenny Lilo will go forward as well. Arkansas Kid on the backup has to do something. He might even lead. They haven't been leading on in this preparation, but they should from barrier one.
He'll sit just behind the speed, surely.
No, maybe, but they'll be positive on him regardless. So it looks like there's going to be good speed in this race, and I think it sets up for Angel Capital to peel out at the 2 furlong pole and just rip past them. He's been well backed. I'm kicking myself I didn't back him, but
Ben's only told you 15 times.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to tell you I told you so, but
yeah, I know. I couldn't back him now, but probably, maybe. I mean, if he's 350 on the day, you know what? I'm probably going to back him. But depending on how the track plays as well, that'll factor into his price and all that sort of stuff. So Sepals for me is way too short at four. He was equal. He was favourite at one point yesterday, and I thought that was just, I couldn't understand it. It's interesting when you look at pace and the last start. So I tried to articulate it in the article that I wrote, saying that to this 800 meters they went slower than standard for that class of race, and there was 13 lengths covering the field. So what that means is the horses at the back and the main contenders or whatever. The other contenders in the race, they had no chance of winning. All Sepals had to do was rip home in some reasonable sectionals, and he put 4 lengths on home rule, which, you know, looking back at it now, makes a whole lot of sense. So I can't have him at $4.50. I originally priced him $11 and then sort of forced him down a little bit just because of, you know, he was first up there and he might have improvement. And also the market putting him up $4.50. I know it was the first markers and I shouldn't be scared of it, but when they go up $4 in a group one handicap and you're that far off it, it's a little bit scary. So, I think the map's a little bit complicated for him too. Whether they try and go forward again on him will be interesting. If they try to go back, I'm certainly worried. If Sepals is behind Angel Capital, I think he's got no chance whatsoever. So they should try and be positive. Miss Rumbini was really good first up, you know, was brave on top of the speed there in the Cochrane. And other horses I give chance to is Feroce, who won the Australian Guineas beating Sepples, and that has to mean something. And he's $41 here, and Sepples is $4.50. And he was fine first up. 1,200 metres isn't his go. Up to 1,400 metres, he can sustain his speed a bit better. So
it's got to carry 4 kilos more than Sepples.
Is It Me is another one that interests me too, just out of a really strongly run Memsie. In the Be Good To Your Mother sort of prep. So Damn About Bones done this before, third up. And like this horse, if he runs to his form at the weights carried, if he runs to his form in the Shaftesbury Avenue, beating Clubell and Lady Jones by 4 and 5 lengths, and you know he's a chance in this field, and he's 50-1. So those are a couple of horses I give chances to, and I guess I should mention another Will, who is the established form line, but at the weights and how poor he was in the Memsie, that was just sort of bemusing how poor he was. He was well supported too, so. But at the same time, you can't really get rid of him at all because of, you know, what he's done in the past. And, you know, he's carrying the weight, the top weight, but it's impossible to discount what he's done. So, you know, that's how I've sort of seen it. Hopefully, I probably will be backing Angel Capital on the day. So that's how I've sort of seen it.
Best bet of the day, Angel Capital. I can get him shorter than his current mark. I thought his return win in the Chautauqua Stakes was excellent. Just arrogant, circled the field. Put a margin on him. Final 400 metres is close to 4 lengths above the class average. The first speed bump we had to get over during the week was Waller actually deciding that he was going to run despite drawing a wide barrier, which I think will work out fine. And the second speed hump that I wanted to get over was rain on the day, which it looks like there's not going to be much of. 60% chance of 0 to 2 mils. It's not going to have an effect on the track. I see him in the 3 wide cover line, second half of the field, and just monstering them at that final 400 metres. I put up a video of Land of Plenty and Damien Lane winning the Toorak during the week, and I think this is going to work out very similarly. He just has to get the back of the right horse, and he's just got this long, sustained sprint. Up to 1,400 metres is perfect. His Caulfield 1,400 metre form, he's unbeaten, 2 out of 2. So he's the one, 53.5 kilos as a spoil. Sepples, I do have a result for, but Angel Capital clearly the best result. Sepples just has to go forward. Craig Williams should be brave from barrier 15, and if he slots into a 1-1 or gets in, then yes, he is the second most obvious chance. Another Will had something small on at double figures all in, but I'm a little bit worried about him. Damask Rose have had something small on. And Mr. Mbeni is probably the only horse I give a chance to. Arkansas Kid, he probably only just gets 1,400 metres. And Is It Me, I did go looking for. Does have some good peak ratings, but I think he's only half going so far this preparation. Nico.
Yes, well, there's a lot of horses in this race that can't win. And I think there's a couple at sort of decent odds. I think Mr. Mbeni is a horse that is probably the horse I'm most scared about. Draw is a bit, but she's flying this horse, unbeaten third up. And she's got a bit left in stall, so I'm scared of her. But I think Angel Capital with the right run blends into the race, and he's just the best horse in this race, I think. I'm getting a bit sick and tired of another Will. He's very much Goldilocks. He digs his toes in when it all gets too hard. Everything needs to be run to suit, blah, blah, blah. It's just not the type of horse that you want to be with when, you know, they need so much to go right. So,
and he's given a good horse 5.5 kilos.
Yeah, I don't think he can win with 59 kilos, so... I'm getting a bit sick of him, to be honest. Angel Capital clearly on top. I think Mr. Mbeni is probably the danger and probably a bit over the odds.
Yep, fair enough. $16 is the top price for Mr. Mbeni. I did see D-Lane during the week.
Any motivational wisdom?
Just said g'day. But he was already losing weight. He was already in the steam room, in the sauna, getting down to 53.5 kilos. He is going to perfect this ride.
Yep.
Can just see that. The other one I do have a really big ticket for, I think 50-1 each way, was Zoo Sensation. So if it gets into the field, I think it could run a place without surprising. All right, race nine is the Naturalism Group 3, 2,000 metres handicap. Win this, you're into the Caulfield Cup. Half yours, $2.60 favourite from Birdman, $4.20. The male is coming out. We'll run in Sydney. Statuario, $9. Braden Star, $14. Berkeley Square, $16. Berkshire Breeze, $16. And Mark Twain, $17. The caveat to those prices are they are sports bet prices. So they bet emergencies in. So you'll notice that they're top price everything by a long way here. You will get absolutely crippled with deductions with the horses that are likely to come out. So just take that with a bit of a grain of salt. Botta, who are you back in here? You're on mute.
Sorry. I think once Birdman comes out, I think I'll be looking to back half yours. I think what he did in Queensland and what he's done in Sydney is sensational. The only query is the map, but I don't have much of a articulate case for it other than he's a bet, and I'll also be backing Future History and Forever Stars.
Yep. Look, half yours has got to be the top selection for me. I wouldn't go betting this price right now because you know Birdman's going to scratch, so you're going to get really bad deductions, and you're probably going to end up taking black figures on Saturday anyway, so just wait. But the horse that I have had something on at double figures is Braden Star. He started $4.20 last start at Caulfield, second up over 1,700 metres, and he just got outsped when the dash went on. But just look, after a couple of those horses go past him, he picks up again, goes through the line nicely. His trial between runs, between his first up run at Flemington and Caulfield, was as good as I've seen him work. He now comes 2,000 metres, third up, 54.5 kilos, and draws well in barrier 7, which will end up coming at least barrier 6. So he still needs to sneak into the field. I think he will. And at that price, I think he's a decent each way bet. Nico, any bets here? Crossed.
Yes.
You just can't take yourself off mute.
Yes, it kept going on and off, on and off. I want to be with half yours as well. Bit like Bot, I just think he's sort of the best horse in the race, most progressive horse in the race. And I think he'll win. You don't want to be taking too short odds, though. I think sort of around this price with Birdman out, hopefully something that I don't think is too wishful. Calvin did allude to the fact that this wasn't their plan to come to Melbourne. They wanted to run in Sydney in the Kingston Town and then go to the Metrop, but there was like 25 acceptors in a 14-horse field or something in Sydney. So, they've committed to Melbourne now and might not be going to the Metropolitan. So it's a bit of a dagger in the heart for a few people that had some juicy tickets. Hopefully he wins Saturday and then it's all eyes on the Caulfield Cup.
I think he'll be competitive
in a race like that, the way that he's going. Oh,
if he wins this race on Saturday, he'll be $9, $10 in a Caulfield Cup. Just with the weight he's going to get. You can understand why they don't want to go to a Metrop, especially if they win on Saturday. If they go to a Metrop, they win that, and they'll cop a big penalty for the Caulfield Cup. They'll probably cop another kilo. So, yeah. I think you'll get $2.30 on Saturday, even with the scratching.
Yeah.
Just wait.
And Calvin alluded to the fact that he reckons this horse will run 2 mile, no problems. Whether it's this preparation or not, they're not sure. But apparently he's just a real good, he's got a real good set of lungs on him, and just the way that he does things, it really conserves his energy, and he's got a real big motor. So, exciting. Exciting for Tony and Calvin.
Well, they took him to 2,400 metres for the first time at the Sunshine Coast and just absolutely exploded. So it's not surprising. The last race features the King's Horse. Benchmark 84, 2,000 metres. Thoughts and prayers to people who were backing him at $8 all in a Naturalism when he was 34th in the order of entry. He's been balloted out of that race. To be honest, it's not even prayers. Like, you deserve to do the money if you don't check those sort of things. $2.90 favourite from Mr. Verse, $5.50. Kings Valley, $5.50. Whiskey on the Hill, $10. Unlimited, $13. Is the horse who beat Gilded Water last start. And Lincoln Rocks, $15. Bot, take it away.
Gilded Water is probably the best bet of the day for me. I think that the improvement that he showed first up to second up last preparation, I think gives me a guide on what level you can expect of him. And then what the market expected him to do third up. I would have loved maybe 2,400 metres for him, but I think they'll roll forward. I think there's a lot of percentage in Mr. Verse that is probably unwarranted. He won a race that was really, really, really strongly run. He was just in the right spot. And I don't know if he's screaming. I think he'll probably get it without wanting 2,000 metres. I think Kings Valley will probably go back from the wide barrier. They could go for it, though. It wouldn't be surprising. But, yeah, look, I think Gilded Water is a great bet. I think he is a really, really nice horse. They should go forward here. I think the improvement, like I said, the improvement he'll take first or second up will be immense. And he'll, I think he's a good bet here.
Are you on yet or not on yet?
Not yet.
Yeah. So you've got him marked around market price?
At $2.40.
$2.40, so a little bit shorter.
To betting, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a bit of $3.30. I probably should have taken it, but I'm not on yet, and I might just wait. But, yeah, you can see him starting a little bit shorter for sure. Just rolls forward from that gate. Mark Zara gets in a little bit better at the weights this time around and should improve up to 2,000. So tick, 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 boom. All right, let's get up to Randwick, where the rail is out 7 metres from the mile to the winning post and out 4 metres the remainder. Hallelujah, though. We do have a good four track and no sign of rain on Saturday. So that's huge. We're looking at a good four, possibly even an upgrade to a good three at some stage. It has been probably 5 to 6 degrees warmer in Sydney than Melbourne in recent times. That they're sort of tracking, you know, 23, 24 degrees and we've been 18, 19. But that's just typical Melbourne. They get more sunshine, but they also get more rain. Race 5 is where I want to start. The Kingston Town Stakes, 2,000 metres, Group 3, Vauban, $2.40, Alamaz, $4.60, Birdman, $7, Arapaho, $8, Half Yours, $13 will be coming out, and Land Legend, $26. Nico, what did you think of this race? I saw the $3.50 Vauban, and I didn't take it, and the price evaporated in front of my eyes. I had it in my bet slip. It went $3.50 to $3.20, then it went $3, then it went $2.80, and then I just thought, well, I've missed it. It's now $2.40. It looks short enough.
Couldn't pay me to have a bet this race. I wouldn't even have a bet with your money, Bon. Oh fuck. Everyone's raving about Vauban. I don't know. Maybe I'm scarred and maybe I need to look at him as a different horse now, but I don't know. I can't understand all the ranting and raving about him, to be honest. I would love to back Alamaz, but 2,000 first up.
Well, he did it 2,000 first up last time.
I know, but he was fucking paddling late. Interesting booking. J-Mac on. That's a good get. Maybe it's a sign of intent. Yeah, if you had to force my hand, I'd back Alamaz to beat Vauban, but Vauban's got the fitness hedge on his side, and Adrian Blott sort of poured a bit of cold water on Alamaz. He sort of said that he's a year behind Vauban and Sir Dalius to go fight the big fights sort of thing. But yeah, I think he's a really nice horse, Alamaz, and whatever they pick out for him this preparation, he's a horse that I do want to follow. But yeah, there's some horses in here that are full of hype. Birdman, Land Legend, Adelaide River.
I think Arapaho is going to improve a stack back up to 2,000. Yep. Like Vauban only beat him by a nose over 2,000 metres last preparation at Rose Hill.
Better on wet, in though, the sky maybe. High.
Yeah, potentially, but that was on a dry track. Like he looks a little bit overs. Birdman is sort of interesting. Like, I just think there's enough there not to back Vauban at $2.40, but I do admit he's probably the most likely winner. Alamaz, I know he only beat Belvedere Boys on his Australian debut, but the win actually rated quite well.
It was a great ride.
Yeah. All right, let's move on from that race. Go to race 6, the T-Rose, 1,400 metres, Group 2. This is for the fillies. Apocalyptic is the one they've backed. $3, my racehorse runner. I don't know if that's any recreational money. Tupacara, $4. Within the Law, $4.80. Queen of Clubs, $10. And Kujina, $12. Yeah, well, I think this this horse might have the tag. It's got to be close to it as the best maiden in Australia, and that is Tupacara. Seven starts, yet to break the duck, but does have a placing in a Fernhill, ran second, also ran third behind Nepotism and Within the Lawn, the Champagne. And I thought its return run was excellent over 1,200 metres in the Furious, ran the fastest final 400 metres of the race from well back, drew wide there, now draws barrier three, gets the blinkers on first time, and comes up to 1,400 metres. They're all ticks, and your two main dangers are Apocalyptic and Within the Law, who draw barrier 8 and barrier 11. Apocalyptic drew barrier 1 last start and just had the saloon passage through runners, and J-Mac was circling the field, had nothing to tug it into the race. I think she will turn the tables on that horse, and I think $4 is a fantastic price. So Tupacara, I am very keen on. Nico, any thoughts?
Within the Law doesn't ever draw very good gates, does it?
She's going to be cast again.
Fair dinkum. Poor Bjorn, he'd be pulling his hair out. No real thoughts. Respect to everything you say. It's not a race that I'm interested in.
Yeah. And we know J-Mac loves to get around our tweets on Racing Previews.
He's one of us,
does he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he always likes our tweets. And my tweet about Tupacara, he also gave a little like to, so...
Oh, he loves that.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I've just had a look at the race, and what do you make of this Autumn Blonde at 60-1? It was beaten less than a length three wide without cover the entire way in a fast pace and by Within the Law in the Sweet Embrace last preparations, knocked off a maiden in good time.
60-1. I didn't give it much thought, to be completely honest, but if you're telling me it's overs... I'm listening.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just looking at it, and it's beaten by, had an unfavorable run against one of the favorites, and then come back in the next preparation and knocked off a maiden in good time. Just looks, has a bit of a look about it. It's probably going to be up there on the speed.
All right. I'll shortlist it. I'm loving the Autumn Suns at the moment. Nico, are you happy to skip the Bill Ritchie?
Yeah, he beat it.
Well, I don't think Royal Patronage is going to run here. I don't think he will get a run.
Is Mikhail even going to run either? It's in tomorrow as well, isn't it?
I think he'll run in this because he's probably not guaranteed a start in the Epsom. Yeah. This is a win and you're into the Epsom.
Interesting.
And J-Mac is on. Bizusto did some really, really good things last preparation. That win on the Gold Coast was huge. Probably better on a wet track.
Except for the day we fucking piled into him at Doomben.
Yeah, happy to shoulder arms here. Let's go to the Seven Stakes. Wait for Age group. Sorry, no group.
Moral time.
1,600 metres.
Here we go.
This race used to be the George Main. The George Main turned into the King Charles. The King Charles is now on Everest Day. This is the replacement race. So it's a completely new race that has only been around a few years. No black type, but it's worth...
TBL will be working his magic.
It's worth a million. Fangirl, $2.70. Hallelujah. Good four. Ranwick, J-Mac, barrier five. Oh, you love to see it. Moral. Ranwick. $2.70 from Chaya Wolf, $5.50. Gee, was disappointing.
Chaya Myth.
Gringotts, $6. Does he run a strong mile against this company? Don't know. Private Eye, $7. Royal Patron, $7. And Linderman, $9. Nico, the only possible thing that is against Fangirl this weekend is the rail out 7 metres.
Oh, that won't matter. Only way she'll lose if J-Mac falls off. Simple as that. She gets back to her favourite track, gets J-Mac on, gets a good track. It's just the stars are aligning. She's got to beat a horse who wouldn't flat out win a one-horse trial. Like fair dinkum.
She is Goldilocks, but she gets...
She is, but everything sets up for her on the weekend. Yep. Like, it's just party time, I think.
Private Eye was a bit disappointing last... Like, he was all right, but he still got gapped.
And he's probably not a miler. Royal Patronage kicking off his preparation. Your Linderman bet, you might beat SP, but... Yeah. I think Fangirl will win here, and... She'll stamp her authority as the horse to beat in the King Charles if Autumn Glow doesn't go there.
What about Mr. Brightside?
We'll revisit this on King Charles Day, but I think full credit to Mr. Brightside. He won his race last weekend, but when we get to...
He handled her in the Memsy.
When we get to the King Charles Day and there's $5 million on the line, they won't go fucking walking in reverse pace like they did in the Maccabi Diva.
Yeah, and one that went fast, he put a hole in her in the Memsy.
Yeah, well,
look, it's interesting. I think Fangirl...
Last time they met at Randwick, she absolutely handled him. So,
most people have two Achilles heels. She's got about four or five. One of them is a soft track. It was a soft five there at Caulfield. Another one of them is Caulfield in general. I don't think she really likes Caulfield. Another one of them is fast tempo. She's never been a horse that's been able to sprint off a fast tempo, and they went really fast in that Memsy with Pinstripe packing along in front. She gets a slowly run race here. She gets J-Mac back on board. Barrier five. If Randwick is even half playing fair and it's not leaders dynamite, those inside couple lanes because the rail's out, she is clearly one of the better bets of the day. And they will go slow, so she'll be able to use her big turn of foot. But a horse that I just have to back because I was on last start and I was on him last start at $13 and he's now $9 yet again is Lindemann. He will roll to the front. Nashua Willa is the giant slayer. Yet again, Randwick, 1,600 metres, dry track. His Randwick mile figures, besides Chaowulf at his best, which he hasn't been, Lindemann is probably the one with the third best mile figures in this race. And he's a bet for me as well. But Fangirl, I've taken $3 for. She's a fantastic bet. If she doesn't win on Saturday, she might never win a race again.
Oh, you know what? I'm just about gonna, I'm never gonna agree with you. she's frustrating. Oh, yeah. You know how good she is. And sometimes, to be fair, J-Mac's given her some shit steers.
He has, and so has Karen McAvoy, like sometimes, years ago.
Sometimes they forget that they can't give her, like, she's not Winx. She's been ridden like Winx, and she's gotten beat.
She's been ridden like Winx, and she's come up against horses like Animo. And
even the post-Animo era, like that ride that J-Mac went via the hot dog stand and got her beat.
Who was the Kerry Parker horse? Think It Over.
Yeah.
Think It Over got her a couple of times as well.
She's been
slaughtered a few times as well. Anyway, she doesn't have the greatest gate speed, but
yeah, I think J-Mac's got a rocket up his ass on Saturday with a point to prove.
Yeah, the Fangirl that we saw win a King Charles and an Apollo, that version of Fangirl is one of the best horses in Australia, and there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I agree.
But she just doesn't.
She just doesn't always like turning up.
The shorts, Group 2, 1100 meters. The Sydney media will be saying this should be a Group 1.
They're petitioning for it to be.
Oh,
this is one of the races that they put forward to the committee that got knocked
back. Give it a spell. It's a lead-up race.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, the fucking Maccabi Diva shouldn't be a Group 1 race anyway. That's a lead-up race.
Come on, just because one edition was slowly
I think, well, unpopular opinion, I think we've got far too many Group 1s in Australia.
Do you reckon that's an unpopular opinion?
Well, it is, because some people think that we should have Group 1s all the time. But when you have fucking bullshit like that, what happened last week, and their preparation races, they shouldn't be Group 1s.
We should have one more. You're going to hate me because I'm saying we should have one more Group 1. There should be other Group 1s we should get rid of. I'm not debating that. But the Tancred is the only 2,400 meter Group 1 at Wait for Age in Australia. I feel like there should be one in spring, a Wait for Age staying race, and there's not. It's all handicaps.
We just don't have enough stays.
Yeah, we probably don't. Race 9.
And there's not a handicap sprint race in the spring, is there?
No. Yeah. Oh, no, there isn't. There's the Galaxy in the autumn. Yeah, there's the Newmarket.
Galaxy, Newmarket, and Oakley Plate. So things like this, like, fuck me. I'm not getting paid, and I think of these genius ideas. What are we paying these other people for? That's like, fair income.
Private Harry 220, Briasa 420. Jolly Star's now out to a top price of $6.50.
Spat out.
Mahuna is $15. Generosity was a little bit luckless last start, $16. But I always say... Beware the luckless runner when they still get beaten three or four lengths. Jetabil $17 and Marzu $26. I think Private Harry goes straight to the front here. Have you seen how good he looks, Nico?
He looks like he's a moral.
He looks like he's put on 50 kilos.
He looks like he's a ball of muscle.
Yeah, he looks like he has
strength. He actually sort of looks a bit like ball of muscle. He was a good-looking horse back in the day.
Yeah, he was.
Very fitting.
Ball of muscle name. And Redzel just battling it out in the shorts.
Yes, the good old days. Yeah. What a race. I think it's a very simple race. I think Private Harry will jump, be prominent, might not lead. He might not. But I don't think it'll matter. Yeah. He's a very exciting horse, Private Harry. It doesn't matter what happens on Saturday in this race, because once we get to the Everest, in about 30 days' time, they're all going to have their heart broken. But yeah, let the fanfare stay alive for a little longer with the Private Harry camp. They've talked a big game, and now it's their chance to, you know, walk the walk on Saturday. I know this is only, you know, the semi-final, but still. I think Brias is a nice horse. He's not suited by 1,100 metres. All advantage to Private Harry. They'll neck Jolly Star, barrier 9. It'll be a barrier trial for her. Hopefully she runs into third for exotic players. But, yeah, I think Private Harry has got a stranglehold on this race. I think he deserves to be a prominent favourite. And I'd be very surprised if he gets beat, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's mainly a race in two. Jolly Star, I can understand why the market wants to take her on, because she's going to go back from barrier 9. They're probably not going to go at a really fast tempo here.
So I think last week, etc.
It's 1-2 here. Private Harry goes forward. Like, his trials have been immense. 1,100 metres probably suits him a little bit more than Briasa. In fact, I'm sure it does. I know Briasa meets him better off from the Galaxy, but Private Harry is the unbeaten horse, 5 out of 5. I reckon he has strengthened up and improved into his preparation. And Corinda Bloodstock, they've talked the talk, and it's about time they want to walk the walk. So I don't think they're here to get beat. He goes straight to the front. He's extremely hard to run down. The only one who can is Briasa, who draws well. So, you know, he's not going to be flushed out the back like he was in that Galaxy and sprinting home in the fastest late sectionals. He's shown he can, you know, hold a position, which is what he did in the TJ. He sat fourth. He got over the top of the overpass.
I just don't know if he's going to first up.
I think he'll still be in the
Hawks here,
the first couple.
To fucking neck him.
Yeah.
He might not neck him. He might be prominent, but I don't think it'll matter.
He'll be in the first couple. But Private Harry is the main result for me, and Briasa is only a small result for me.
What about Generosity? Not jumping on that bandwagon like a few others?
As I said, I just think she was unlucky last start, but she's not, like, we know Generosity. We know her from her perf days. Like, she's a
her
good honest sprinter.
Her claim to fame is a quokka placing.
She's an honest sprinter.
She is, but
she's not in the same hemisphere as Private Harry and Briasa.
Or Jolly Star, for that matter.
And just because she was unlucky first up, I don't think that just means that she's going to win this race.
No.
I can't see her winning.
He is a frustrating horse.
The barrier is, yeah, that might put him out of play.
Fair enough.
I think it's a two horse race. To be fair,
I think it's
They're the two big new sprinters on the scene, and I think they'll run 1-2.
I'll be shocked, no matter the result in this race, if the market changes on Saturday for the Everest. It shouldn't.
Oh, the only thing that will happen is Private Harry will drift if he gets gapped. He won't
even
shorten
if he wins. I don't think any of them confirm.
Well, he's like $6. So when Kaying Rising is taking up, you know, 70% of the market, whatever it is, 60%, whatever it is.
Cannot wait.
Yeah. All right, that's the tipping done. Anything on Friday or Sunday, or happy to go straight to best bets?
Yeah, I've got race 3 at Flemington. She's a Hustler, I think, is a bet. And also race number 6 at Ballarat, Keepsake. Yes. Looks like it's come back well.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Oh, that's a very nice horse. Yeah.
$3 to win a benchmark 62.
It's a gold nugget day tomorrow.
It is.
That's Bott's race. All his mates are in that race.
They are. Look at them all. I've backed every single one of them.
Look at them all.
I reckon I've backed every single runner in that field at least once.
They should call it the Sportsbet Gold Bott Loves Me Stakes.
Yeah. See what I say looks short there, doesn't it? $7.
They all look short.
When's the last time running by one? It's been a while.
Run that day. Bott
probably
Oaks
backed
day.
It yeah. when it won.
Yeah.
I think I did, actually.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
It was on Oaks Day.
Yeah, well, her best is good enough. She only just got beat by Zoo Sensation. Too bad.
You know,
what was that?
You haven't just had a swipe at her and then you stick it up for her now?
What?
Running by?
I'm not backing her. I'm just saying her best is probably the best. Forgot you and her. You couldn't trust the two best in the race. No, I'm not betting that race. I could come with Keepsake, though, for sure.
Sweet.
All right. Podcast multi, we need to get this home, Bott. No bullshit.
Why what me? Happened last week?
I was so unlucky last
what
week.
What happened last
two
week?
Two out of the last 3 weeks, your leg has cost us.
What happened last week?
Well, Royal in Sydney, I got held up half the straight.
Royal in Sydney, no, he just put it to place. He put it to place. I ran fourth.
Got fed by
got
a nose.
Willowed.
And got I don't think you really rode it out the last 20 metres either.
Got Willow. That was not a good steer.
Nico, who did you have? You had a...
I had who did I have?
Something that pissed in.
Lazura.
Oh, no, yeah. Didn't piss in, actually. Only just one. And
yeah,
I had
lifted
Glow,
the last 50 metres.
So we need to get this home, right?
We even gave Bott the weak option just to run a drum, and he still couldn't hold his position for the lads.
Nico, are you going Fangirl?
I'll go Fangirl, yeah.
All right, race 8, Randwick, number 11.
That'll leave
Will.
Planet Red for Bott, hopefully.
Do I go Gilded Water or half yours?
Oh, fucking hell.
I'll leave this up to you. Which one do I pick?
Well, I'll go race 8, Caulfield, number 9, Andrew Capital.
You can take Planet okay. Red if you like, Bott.
No, pick one of the two. Which one do you like more, Gilded Water
half
or half
yours?
All right, it'll be half yours.
All right, I'm sort of happy with that. I'm happy with that. You know what? Give it a
try. Half yours is more likely than Gilded Water, so we'll go with that.
All right. A couple of questions before you wrap up this podcast. Go to Twitter first. Lucas Greenwood, can we get Jules Valance back on the show over the coming weeks,
yep.
in particular talking about Melbourne Cup weights?
Yeah, well, he's coming on. He's not in his usual Everest slot this year.
Drum roll.
It's going to be too hard. But as he always comes on for one slot, per season or per carnival, he will be on the Turnbull Stakes preview.
Sweet. There you go. James Collins, when is Bott getting sacked from the podcast multi? Tell you what, it's only a couple episodes away.
I love how he's even just, he's just shoved it under us to pick now, so it's like he's not responsible.
Yeah. B2B, Buckaroo. Now Will has blown up as an analyst. Is he going to be the first Aussie to finally man up and use fraction odds?
No, fuck this, off. The day
this guy's use, from he's from England, I think.
The day you use fraction odds in the article is the day that you're on the bench.
Yeah, you can't be doing that, Bob.
All right.
Especially, yeah.
Just to sound like a proper tosser.
Boom punting, Will and Ben, with both of your raging success over the last month, do you now view yourself as influencers over punters?
That's good gear.
Yes.
Yes.
Depends what you define as an influencer. We're no Benny Scarf, I'll tell you that. But
yeah, we're not in Vegas right now.
Hopefully we do.
Well, hopefully these two can just help get some endorsements for the show. With their
yeah. Racing Nuff, Via Sestina or Animo? I'll go Via.
Via Sestina is better, but Animo
is better. I can own Animo. It's worth more.
I think this is who's a better horse.
Via Sestina is
Via
better Sestina. Horse.
Imperatrix or Nature Strip?
Nature Strip.
Nature Strip. Nature Strip. Autumn Glow or Private Harry?
Autumn Glow.
Autumn Glow.
I wouldn't be surprised if Private Harry wins and wins well this weekend, though.
Yeah, but I think Autumn Glow could be a generational horse.
Yeah. Well, they're both unbeaten. There you go. They're both unbeaten. So that's not a bad idea.
Each run that she has, the better she looks.
Yeah. Krista Casta with Ben on racing.com and Bot on the typewriter. Where will we see Nick pop up next to continue the racing previews march to inevitable media dominance?
Probably in the gutter off my face. After the race.
He's probably right, to be fair.
I'm pretty sure I've got some mail that he actually was in the gutter outside Crown at 5 a.m. last weekend.
Yeah, mail was probably spot on.
Did you put a bit of cash, did you stimulate the economy on the blackjack table at all?
I didn't win.
Yeah, well, ding, ding, ding.
I was pretty disorientated by this time of the morning, so I didn't invest too much.
That's good. Yeah. Put your wallet away. Ryan Patton with Young Gun.
I was in that much of a state, I didn't know where it was. It was thankfully in my pocket.
Yeah. You were in 52 of them.
Yeah.
With Young Gun, Will Alford doing articles and having his name in the bright lights, joining Ben and Nico as racing hottest trio in the media. How many hours will the three of you boys set aside prior to day one of the Bull Carnival next year to sign autographs in the marquee?
Oh, Bot probably won't ever be there. Probably won't be allowed to come anymore. His mum's put a ban to that after we broke him the first
Bot
year.
Will be protesting outside. But
oh, don't.
Roxas FC, he used a bit of AI here. Or maybe he just did it himself. Will Alford, he changed his bio on Betsy. It reads, Will has quickly earned a reputation as the man who can bring down even the most promising multi, with a knack for dissecting Victorian racing in ways punters wish he wouldn't. Will's insights have been ending dreams since he was 15. When it comes to pricing markets, nobody crushes confidence quite like him.
That's good. Very good gear.
It's good gear. Got 10 likes. I gave it a reshare. I loved it. Mr. Brightside, surely organise a fan meet at the Everest?
I don't know if that's a piss take or not, but sure, if you just give us a message, mate.
I need to make sure
we're not influencers. We're just
I need to get those tickets this week or else we're not going.
Depends on how the day goes. We can meet early because I probably won't be in a state after about, race 2.
Yeah, if Kai Ying Rising gets better,
we're not meeting anyone near that time.
If Kai Ying Rising gets beat, it'll be like the year Nature Strip got beat. We're going straight back to the hotel we're locking ourselves in and we're not going out.
It's not going to happen because you aren't wearing fucking ties like we wore with Nature Strip. We've banned that shit. No horse on tie. We'll be sweet.
Yep. Oscar Gordon, any best bets around for Sunday? Asking for a silly Sunday quaddy. Aussie plays footy with me at Caroline Springs. So don't worry. We're going to have to delve into the form. How good is it? I've got silly Sunday this week and there's racing at Flemington.
That's pretty dangerous.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Only 8 races on the card.
Just make sure you've got plenty of drink options, Aussie, because Ben is a bit of a...
I'm a serial switcher.
Oh, yeah, you're a nightmare.
Extra Rush isn't a bad horse. I've been following it unbeaten. It's in race 5. But do you have anything at Flemington Bot?
Yeah, race 3. She's a hustler.
Race 3. She's a hustler. There you go. $4.50, $4.60. Roxas FC says, looks 15. Talking about Bot again. All right. A couple more on Instagram before we wrap up. Stu, not a question, just an FYI. Timu Tattoo Gun ordered ready for Kayan Rising Tats, LFG.
No, we're going to the proper parlor to get a proper tattoo.
He's not going anywhere with his Timu Gun. Tyson Hunter, do you regret disrespecting the champ? Nico, did they play it?
I don't know. I hope they did because well done. He won the race.
I'm assuming the intro will be all of Brightside's 11 Group 1s. Tyson. Either you can't count or you're a biased owner who is counting the All-Star Mile as another Group 1, even though it wasn't a Group 1 when he won it. Mr. Brightside is a champion, but he has only won. He's won 10 Group 1s, not 11. Rolly Dixon, Bot. Stocks to the moon. Shane Burnett, random question, Ben, but are you on the Big Swing Golf Simulator website homepage? Yes, funny story about this.
Here we go.
What's this?
Big Swing Golf sponsored the Valley. So right. We had to go out there and do a little promotional video just like with, you know, like using the golf clubs and everything, and Geroid pieced it up together, our great video man. Yeah. And yeah, I'm on there.
Wow, so, wait.
I should have got Nico to done it. He's got a nicer swing than me. Yeah. Damon Winley, where do we RSVP to line up to get a glimpse of Benny on Kaying Rising Day? yeah, just message the page. Ryan Deeth, where is Knockbar these days? Rogue as always. What is Knockbar? Just a
sprinter
rogue
for Hayes.
Right. And Coops here on the last one. Bot, why are you so cute in your Betsy photo?
No.
Well, it's actually a racing.com photo. Yeah. All right. About an hour and 15. Wrap up the podcast there. Any last words?
No.
Footy tip? Collingwood versus Brisbane.
Hawthorn
versus Geelong.
Hawthorn will beat Geelong tomorrow night, and I think Brisbane will beat.
No, they won't. Geelong will win.
And Brisbane will beat Collingwood.
Two cracking games.
Yeah, Geelong will win the lot.
I can't remember the last time a team finished eighth and won the flag, so that's what Hawthorn are staring down the barrel
but
they're able to win the next two.
I don't know. They're a bit of a force to be reckoned with at the moment, and Geelong only beat one team out of the... They've only played three top eight teams in the last bunch of rounds. So,
yeah.
And I don't necessarily think you'd want to come in, you know, the week off might do more harm than good. Hawthorn are just, they're causing chaos. Hot ball.
Yeah.
And they're going to be even better next year when they get Merritt. And Will Day.
Next weekend is one of the great weekends in Australian, on the Australian calendar, but in particular in Australian sport. Friday night,
so
Manukato
good.
Stakes night. Lady Shenandoah versus Barrackheel. We've got Treasure of the Moment going around in the field.
Vinrock
is going around the Stutt Stakes. Pride of Jenny is likely to set the tempo in the Fian. Treasure of the Moment is going to go her up. And then on Saturday, it's obviously AFL Grand Final Day. In Sydney, you've got the Golden Rose between Tempted, Autumn Boy.
Friday night, also the Melbourne Storm playing in a prelim final.
Right, and then NRL Grand Final is the week after.
Correct.
Yeah. Just one of the all-time great weekends. It's the best. I'm really looking forward to it. All right, wrap up the podcast, Sam. We'll see you back here next Thursday night.
Good luck, punters.